We have to, as it says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. The devil schemes. He goes about trying to devour us like a roaring lion, and we need to protect ourselves from that. And he does it through other people by creating friction, misunderstanding, troubled relationships, jealousy between people in the church. It's sad, but it happens. But behind that is an enemy who wants us to stumble. So I was going to share just a little bit from my personal experience. These are just a few examples of places I've served and some of the things I learned by serving. Because when we serve, then we really begin to grow spiritually. Sometimes people say, oh, I want to grow spiritually and be a stronger Christian. I want to have a closer relationship with Jesus. Well, lead a small group. That'll do it. When you start serving, you start growing. At Calvary Chapel of Oceanside, I was challenged to be an usher before I became a Christian. One day I went in and the lead usher grabbed me and he pulled me off to the side and he says, I'd like to put you on the usher team. Personal invitation. And I kind of said, because I didn't want to do it. So I kind of said, you know, I think I'm supposed to be a Christian first before I take on serving in the church in roles like that. Now, sometimes we have people at OIC who have served as ushers who were not Christians yet. They were still seekers, and sometimes that may be okay. You know, we want to include people. But at the time, I used that as basically as an excuse. And so he left me alone. And then after I did make a decision to become a Christian, the next Sunday, I'm coming walking in, a brand new Christian. I prayed to receive Jesus with somebody, an elder of the church, on Saturday morning. And I walk in on Sunday morning, the head usher greets me. And you know what he said to me? He said, oh, congratulations, I hear you're an usher. And I said, okay, I'm an usher. We're usually not quite that direct at OIC, but it was a small church, much smaller than OIC at the time. Now it's bigger than OIC, but at the time it was a pretty small church and they were pretty direct about a lot of things. And one of the things that I got from serving as an usher was I really felt I am part of the church. I felt included in a way that I would not have felt if I did not have some ministry or role in service. And some people, you know, they say, well, how do I get plugged in? How do I really become part of the church? Serve. That's how you get really plugged in. You know, that's how you really become to where you say, we are the church instead of I go to the church. It's easy to think, I'm a Christian and on Sunday I go to the church. But when you're serving, you say, it's Sunday. I am the church, so I have to be there to do my part, to help with the ministry. And that's something I learned from being an usher. Now, not that many years later, just a couple years later, at Monterey Assembly of God in California, I was asked to serve on the church council. And I was still a pretty new Christian. I'd only been a Christian maybe 2 years. And I was asked to serve on the church council as the treasurer. Oddly enough, they had a lot of money, but very few people. Unusual in a church. They had a lot of money, but very few people. Later on, they got more people back again. It was a time of crisis in the church. And the crisis had actually happened because a change of the leadership of the church and the pastor who tried to take it as a church. But we don't need to talk about all that, but one of the things that I learned by being on the council was to take responsibility for the ministry. Not just, oh, I come and I serve and do my part, but I'm one of the people who's responsible to do my best to help to make this a healthy church, a loving church, a growing church. And I learned that from being on the council. And as we talked about the spiritual warfare, as an usher, I encountered very little issues. But as a member of the council at Monterey Assembly of God, the devil was throwing the piano at us almost every month for a while. Here comes the piano, duck. You know, figuratively speaking, we were just getting hit with a lot of really heavy challenges for a season. It got better later. But I really learned to take responsibility for the church. Later on, I was still on active duty in the Marine Corps all this time, and I was stationed in a place called Quantico in Virginia, at Marine Corps Base Quantico. And I decided to kind of step up a little bit boldly and start a early morning Bible study in the workplace, Friday morning. Now, it's pretty early in the morning, but we gathered, a few of us. I had to go and get some approval from some people because the Marine Corps like that. But in the end, they said, okay, you can use this conference room, Friday morning, I think it was, for Bible study. And I think it was at 7 a.m. maybe is when we had the Bible study. Is that right? If I remember right, it's been more than 20 years. But we would go, and work started at 8:30, and we would go at 7 to have an hour of Bible study and then a little bit of just coffee time before work. And some people were coming. Some weeks it was 3 people, some weeks it was 8 people. And we were doing a study through the Gospel of John. And I was leading the group and trying to bring out something from the scripture. And what I began to discover there was the gifts and calling the Lord had on my life to teach the Bible, to be someone who shares the word and trying to teach, not to have all the answers, but to share what I did know. And to lead in that way. So I began to discover that, oh, this is part of the gifts and calling the Lord's placed on my life. But I discovered that by doing it. I didn't discover it by just sitting at home and thinking about it. I discovered it by saying, okay, this would be a good thing to have a Bible study, so I'm going to lead it and we'll see how it goes. And it went pretty well. There were challenges. There were a few difficult people. I guarantee you, Marines know how to be difficult people. But it was a blessing. And I learned to love people even when there was trouble, even when there was friction. And the Lord was trying to teach me how to love. Now, when we came to Japan as missionaries, we were in Nihon Kristo Kyodan Fukushima Cho Kyokai, the United Church of Christ, Japan, Hiroshima, Fukushima, Cho Church, for 6.5 years or so, my wife and I, down the street in Hiroshima. And we were called by the church. They tried to figure out what to call us because we came alongside to help, and they decided to call us cooperating evangelists. We were missionaries. And I really think that's when I, for the first time maybe, really began to learn just a teeny bit of teeny, teeny bit of wisdom about the church and about what God tries to do in a church. And I learned just a little bit about the challenge of trying to build and preserve unity from Pastor Nagashima, because Pastor Nagashima had a lot of wisdom and he had a lot of love. And as I worked underneath him, with trying to learn Japanese and about Japanese culture and a very different style of church than I was used to that did things differently, I began to soak up a little bit from him. So if you continue in service, we can begin to learn something about what God's really doing in the kingdom of God and about wisdom and unity. Even if it's just a little, we begin to learn that lesson. So that's just a few small things from my personal experience, but what I want to bring out of this, these examples, is in serving is how I begin to grow in the Lord. Yeah, you can grow some just reading your Bible on your own and praying alone. You can certainly grow some, but do I dare use this example? Serving is like fertilizer. Now, on the farm, we use cow manure for fertilizer. So you could say, so to speak, that serving is like getting into the manure. And when you get in the fertilizer, you begin to grow much faster than if you stay on the nice, safe rock. Serving helps us grow in our relationship with the Lord. So for our own spiritual growth, for our own relationship with the Lord, we want to serve. So this kind of brings us to the question, well, what role should we serve in? How do we figure out what to do? Because there's many different things. While I was in Hiroshima, and I think this was part of my journey towards gaining a teeny bit of wisdom, is I saw that people tend to serve out of three different things. They either see a need and want to meet that need, or they see an opportunity to serve and they want to jump into that opportunity, or they serve out of their gifts and callings. Now, these can overlap. Sometimes the need or the opportunity is a good match for your gifts and callings, but I learned that in the long run, we have to serve from our gifts and callings. We cannot ignore needs. Do not ignore needs. When there is a lost and crying child sitting in front of your house, don't ignore them. Go and help. It's a need. It's important. Even if working with children is not your gift, when there's a lost and crying child, you go and help them. It's a need. And if you're invited, like we say, oh, would you like to come along on a team to go up to Ishinomaki or Iwate Prefecture and minister to the people who suffered from the earthquake and tsunami? Well, being invited to something to go help on a team like that is an opportunity. And it's good whenever you can to grab a hold of opportunities because they'll help you grow. Even if you think, you know, that kind of thing is not really my gift or calling, but it's an opportunity and you'll grow from it. But long-term ministry, if it doesn't come out of gifts and callings, you'll end up burnt out. You'll end up exhausted and weighed down and discouraged. Because needs can be overwhelming if it doesn't match your gifts. There's so many needs in the world. If you just take the newspaper, you might say, okay, I gotta go off to minister to people in the war zone in Somalia, and then I gotta get over to Afghanistan because there's a lot of trouble over there, and then I gotta head for Saudi Arabia, and it's overwhelming. The needs are so many, or even just right here in Osaka, the needs are so many. And unless it matches your gifts and callings, in the long run, it's not gonna work for you. You have to meet needs when they're in front of you, but long term, you got to find your gifts and your calling. Seeing a desperate need does not make a calling by itself. Seeing an opportunity does not make a calling by itself. You know, urgent things, we got to go help. Whether it's our gift or not, whether it's our calling or not, we're all called to love our neighbor. So when it's something urgent, that's different. But long term, find your gifts and callings and serve out of your gifts and callings so that you can have some joy and peace in your service, not just tears. Okay? There are a lot of tears in ministry, and that's okay because that's how we grow. A little child growing up sometimes cries. You try to raise a child so they never cry, it's not going to work. And growing up spiritually also, sometimes we're going to have tears. But we don't want to do that all the time. We want to find some joy also. And that means doing something that you love doing. You find your gift and calling there. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. So there it is. Whatever gift God has given you. Some of you know what your spiritual gifts are, what your gifts of ministry are. Some of you are saying, wow, I still don't really know. That's okay. Try some things out and you'll begin to learn as you grow. Faithfully administering God's grace. Grace is so important. I have to have grace. Got to have grace for ourselves. We got to have grace with one another. So, a few ideas for making OIC better. Just a little bit of sort of vision, some thoughts. I encourage you to think about the experience that new people coming have, the new visitor experience. All of us, whether we have an official so-called ministry role or not, all of us are part of the church in greeting newcomers, welcoming them, introducing ourselves so that we get to know someone, offering some friendship. You know, if you go around introducing yourself to all the new visitors, you can't remember all of their names, and I forget all the time. But at least try to grab the hold of a couple people that you remember and say, okay, I'm going to work on building a relationship with them. I'm going to be available to them. So when the worship service ends, we all want to dash over and see our best buddy. And that's okay. But sometimes we should look around and say, okay, some of these new people, maybe they don't know anyone yet. So let me go over and be available to them as a servant in love to listen to where they're at, why they came to church, to say, let's go up to fellowship time together and hang out and introduce them to some more people and get to know them, to spend a little time, maybe even invite them to lunch and say, oh, let's go get lunch together, you know. Love on those new people. Love them and invite them back. Say, hey, you know, I enjoyed talking with you. Looking forward to seeing you next week or, you know, whatever it may be. So love the new visitors. Love the new people coming. Certainly the people serving as ushers, but also all of the church. And, you know, We can grow these ministries. You know, our ushers do a good job and they're doing a good thing and they've been doing it for a long time, some of them. But look at it and say, how can we make it better? You know, I would love for us, it's like a dream for me, to have an usher and greeting team that says, okay, we don't want new people to get lost. So when people get off the train at J.R. Thomas Gurdy, at 9:30 or 9:45 and they're going to church, they're going to see somebody standing there with a banner or a vest that says Osaka International Church, and everybody who comes up to them and says, I'm going to church, hi, glad to meet you, welcome, let me show you how to get to the church. Wouldn't that be so wonderful to be able to tell people when they call, oh, just come to the train station, when you walk out the gate you'll see somebody there to greet you. That would be so cool. Take a lot of commitment for some ushers and greeters to make that happen, but it would be so cool to be able to do that. It would be such a witness to people, and walking to the church together, they could get to know each other. You know, I always give people directions on the phone. Yeah, you get off at the station and you go through the gates and you see the McDonald's and you go out to the street and you turn left and you go. And, okay, we do what we can and we should give people directions, but it would be so cool to say, someone will meet you there. Well, that would take a great deal of effort. Maybe someday we'll have that. But meanwhile, a smaller thing, if the usher team had some more people who were the greeting part, they could at least go out and stand in front of the building and greet people and say, yeah, you're at the right spot. Sometimes people are standing around on the sidewalk out here saying, I don't know, is this it? Am I at the right spot? Or they come in the front door and they stand there. Is it on the first floor? Or is it upstairs? They don't know. So we want to greet them as early as possible based on the number of ushers and greeters we have and their desire to serve. It's fine to greet them right here at the usher's table. But if we move that out to the front door or out to the sidewalk or even all the way down to the train station, that would be so wonderful. Not at all criticizing what's been done so far, but it could be more. And a lot of times when the service starts, a few minutes into the service, 15 minutes in the service, all the ushers are in here because they want to worship too, and absolutely they want to worship, and they should. But maybe there should be a rotation to keep one out there by the front door for people who are coming late. New visitors in particular often get lost. They get lost a lot, even though it's pretty simple to get here from the station, especially if they're just new to Japan. If you just arrived in Japan a week ago, finding JR Tomotsukuri Station is like a miracle. Okay? Really? People come from America or Australia or someplace, especially those countries that don't have train systems. Just finding the train station is a big deal because they're not used to it. After the service, that being available, sometimes after the service, the ushers are all gone, but somebody might have a question. They might want to ask something, but what if nobody's there? It's good to be there a little bit after the service to answer questions. Think about our OIC family. Love one another. Make friends with one another. There are some people in our church who are lonely. One gal who came to OIC once told me, she says, the first time I came, people were so nice and they greeted me and everything because I was a new visitor. And the second week I came and the third week I came, nobody talked to me because I wasn't new anymore. You know, sometimes people come into the church a long time, we barely know them. And I'm very guilty of that. There's some of you I barely know at all. But we need to do better. We need to love one another. Deepen relationships, you know. You could have your lunch bunch of five or six people who like to go to lunch together, and you could say, okay, we got five friends who want to go to lunch together, and let's make a rule. Every week, let's invite one of the new visitors or one of the other people to join us. So we can enjoy our group, but we can invite one more or two more. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Love one another. Make this a place of joy and love. And you know, you can help us liven up the worship team. Those of you who sing or play an instrument, or if we get a drama team going again, that would be cool. Drama team, that would be cool. Okay. Hint, hint. I'd love to have some people coming forward wanting to share some testimonies about either salvation or about what God's doing in their life, or praise reports about how God answered their prayer. You just let us know, or sharing even a favorite scripture. Say, this scripture really touched me. I want to share it with everybody. You know, we can talk to you and maybe give you 3 minutes or 5 minutes in the service to do that. Or, you know, we might even have praise dance, you know, occasionally. Not probably every week, but maybe occasionally. Bottom line, I want to encourage you. I know a lot of you are already serving in different ways, so I'm not trying to make you do more and more and more and more. If you already found your niche and you're serving, that's good. But for those who either haven't found the right thing or haven't started, volunteer. We can always use more volunteers. Sometimes it takes a while to figure out exactly where to plug you in, but don't give up on us. If it takes a little while to figure out how to get plugged in or started, just say, hey, I'm available. And if you're available, pretty soon you'll be put to work. And it'll be hard, but it'll also be blessed, and you'll grow in the Lord.